This is Lawrence Tuning, and these are my 88 friends.
Me and my 88 friends. Me and my 88 friends. I will sing you a song that will help me along. They're my one-man band. I'm the number one fan.
Welcome to episode 113 of Me and My 88 Friends. This is Lawrence Tuning, your host. I'm calling this episode Music and Stories on a Winter's Night. We're recording this on January 27th, 2023. So I'm going to play songs over the last 50 years. And the first song you heard was Unless the Lord Builds the House. That was done with my wonderful current band, Damascus Road. want to play another one by Damascus Road. This song I wrote in the 80s. It was inspired from a trip I went to Nashville, and people dissected my songs like someone in a biology lab. But anyway, this is called I Don't Want to Keep You Hid. I've recorded 10 projects in my music career, if you call it that. It started back in 1970. The first recording was 73. But I want to play two songs from my most recent recording, which was finished in 2018. And this is the project is called Living in the Shadow. So the two songs I want to play is, first of all, The Night That Changed My Life, which is a song about my salvation as an 8-year-old kid in a country church. And the second song is a song I wrote to my wife on our 40th anniversary called Love Song Just For You. No, I never wrote down the day, but I can take you to the spot where the Lord reached down from heaven and he came into my heart. I believe it was early summer. I was still a child when I heard Jesus call me, and I walked down the aisle. My mother knelt beside me. I remember it to this day. She put her arm around me and she began to pray. Then my tears started falling, for I was praying too. Then she asked, do you feel better now? And I smiled and I said, I do. Thank you.
first knew that I loved you. At a time when we were young, I would often sit and ponder what our future might become. Looking back, I'm filled with wonder and a sense of gratitude. So allow me now to render a love song just for you. Sometimes my memories take me to a moment etched in time. You turned and kissed your father, then he placed your hand in mine. I had joy beyond measure when I took you for my wife. I knew I'd found a treasure to cherish all my life. It's a love song just for you. Just for you.
You're listening to our podcast, Me and My 88 Friends. This is Lawrence Tuning, your host. I'm sitting by Brian Hoogenboom. We record in his home. And Brian can't talk tonight because he's recuperating from sinusitis and can't talk over a whisper. But I was looking at my Facebook the other day, and it popped up that 9 years ago, 2 days ago, 9 years ago, we sang at a coffee house here in Florence called Lula's, and Brian played the guitar in that concert. We didn't have our present band, but several of the members that we have now were there that night. So I thought we'd pull some songs from that concert up and play them right now. We're going to play three songs in a row. The first song is called All or Nothing. I wrote that in 1971. It took many years to record it, but I didn't record it till 2018, so I don't know how many years that is. But that's followed by a song called Phone Call, which is based on a true story about a guy who called an old friend from the war and shared the Lord with him. And then the third song is Fairweather Friend. That used to be my most requested song before The Anchor Holds was written. And it was written after my wife had her first miscarriage and we came home from the hospital. And I sat down at the piano and that song came to me. So here's All or Nothing, Phone Call, Prayer with a Friend, recorded at Lula's Coffee House, January 25th, 2014.
Went by fast. something great has happened, something that changed my life. I gave my heart to Jesus, ask him to forgive my sin. You won't believe the difference since I followed him. Why are you laughing? Was it something that I said? Tell me, why are you laughing? Would you rather have me hang up instead? We were always best friends. I never thought to laugh at me. Wait, what are you saying? What is it that you want me to say? As soon as you came home from the war, and you've been thinking of calling me, but you put it off a year or more. You were always my best friend, now you're my brother too. Today my heart was broken. I sat down and I cried. I lost something very dear to me. I felt alone inside. I needed to talk to someone. All that I could do was pray. Then I heard a still small voice. This is what I heard it say. You loved me in the autumn. Love me in the spring. You loved me when the summer breeze was ever so gently blowing. But will you love me when the winter comes and you feel the icy wind? Will you stay with me, or will you be my fair weather friend? I've known the joy of laughter. Sung those songs of praise. I have lifted my voice. My heart has rejoiced. Another time and place. But today my heart is breaking. The laughter once again, I hear that still small voice whispering in my
was ever so gently blowing. But will you love me when the winter comes and you feel the icy wind? Will you stay with me, or will you be shall pass, and I'll learn again to smile. I will love you in the autumn. Lord, I'm gonna love you in the spring. And I will love you when the summer brings is ever. Stay with you one day soon.
Those were several songs recorded 9 years ago this week at a coffee house here in Florence, South Carolina. I'm going to reach way down into the archives. I mean, way back. The third album I ever did, recorded in 1978. This was a band I had called Lawrence Tuning and Eastland Band, produced by Gary S. Paxton, who was the writer of the classic song The Monster Mash. Very talented guy. He loves horns, or he's in heaven now, but he loved brass. But I'm going to pull this out. Now, I sing a lot different. I sang a lot different in 78 than I do now. I'm very nasal and guttural, but I just thought, oh, what the heck, we'll do it tonight. We'll walk on the tightrope without a net. This is called Day In, Day Out.
Older and down, take a good look at things. Is this what living really is?
As I said earlier, I'm calling this episode Songs and Stories on a Winter's Night. So I guess if we're going to be true to the title, I need to tell a story or two. I come from a family of storytellers and come from a part of the country where people love to sit and tell stories to each other. So I thought I'd tell you about my aunt. Brian's here. I'm talking to Brian here. I had an aunt, Brian, who was the sheriff of Chesterfield County, my aunt. Actually, I had several law enforcement people in my family. My dad's youngest brother was chief of police in a little town. And then my dad's youngest sister was married to a man who was sheriff for 18 years. And he was in True Police magazine. I was so proud that I had an uncle in True Police magazine. But when he died, the governor appointed his wife, my aunt, to finish out his term. And that made the papers even in London, England, of grandmother sheriff. But before he became sheriff, he was a deputy sheriff. And I don't know if you know this, Brian, but in the old days, a lot of jails would have an apartment hooked right next to it. And what would happen is one of the deputies would live there in that apartment, or it's like kind of like a house. It was fairly big, but it was attached to the jail. And so his wife would cook for the prisoners. That's kind of how it worked. So many years they lived in the jailhouse, which is kind of wild when you ask where does your aunt live. She lives in the jailhouse. But she had so many stories about life there by the jail. She's a great cook, by the way. And everything she cooked for her three sons and husband, she cooked for them. And there was a prison inspector who came by and said to my aunt, he said, "I've heard something today I've not heard in 40 years in all of my career doing this. I walked by and some prisoner says, the food's great here." And it really was. But anyway, she told me the story about these boys that robbed a store or a shoplifter. They were young boys. I forget what it wasn't like a lot of cash, but they got put in jail for it, teenagers. And so she would have to sit in on the visits. I don't know why, but she would sit there and supervise the visits. And she told me that each of those boys' mothers came in one at a time. And each of those boys, all three of their mothers, said the same thing. I told you that if you messed around with those two boys, you would get in trouble. Something like this would happen. And she had another experience where a preacher got arrested for being drunk on a Saturday night. So they threw him in jail, and Sunday morning, he woke up, and he got really agitated. He said, "What time is it?" And they said, it's Sunday morning. It's 9:30. And he started to panic. He said, I've got to get out of here. They're waiting for me at church. I've got to preach. I'm the preacher there." They said, "Well, you're not getting out of here because court doesn't start till Monday morning." And so finally, after he got over that shock, he began to preach to the prisoners. And he was preaching away, and one guy hollered out, who knew a little bit about the Bible, he said, "Hey, if you and God are all that tight, why don't you pray for an earthquake and get us out of here like the impossible Paul did in the Bible?" He meant to say Apostle Paul, but he said the impossible Paul. I'm sure Barnabas thought he was the impossible Paul at times. But my favorite story here is some prisoners came to her because it was her kitchen. She'd pass the food through there, and she could speak to them at times. And some of them said, "Mrs. Hill, do you have any hymn books?" And she said, "No. Why do you want hymn books?" They said, "Well, we thought we'd like to sing at night before lights out. We'd like to sing praises to God." And she fell for it. She went over to the Methodist church and got four or five hymn books, brought them over, and night after night, for an hour, they would sing to their heart's content all the old hymns. And my aunt was so happy. She said, "Wow, they're thinking about God, and I'm giving them this hymn book, and look what's happening. The whole jail is singing God's praises every night." What she didn't know was that somebody had sneaked a saw or a file of some sort, and they were cutting through the bars every night for an hour, and then, they weren't cutting through the bars, I'm sorry. They were cutting through the bricks and taking a brick out one at a time, but they put them all right back together because they couldn't get it all done in one night. So they did this for like four or five nights, and they almost pulled it off. They would sing, and then when it would get time for lights out, they'd put it all back together. And they almost pulled it off. But the guy doing all the work, pulling the bricks out, was very, very fat. And he couldn't get through the hole. And so the prisoners thought, "It's not right. We could jump out and make a getaway. But the guy who did all this work, we've got to give it one more night so he can get out too." Well, the next day, there was a lady prisoner that worked in the kitchen. And she took the garbage out, and she looked, and there was all these little chips, cement chips, laying around. And they looked up, and they found it. And my aunt was very, very mad. She went storming up there, and she says, "Give me those hymn books. Your choir, your gospel days are over." And that was the end of it. But she just had so many stories like that. And had quite a ministry there in jail. I was there one time preaching in Chesterfield, and I asked my aunt if I could go over and speak to the prisoners and have supper with them. So they locked me in there, and I was talking to them, and the first guy, I said, "What are you in for?" And he said murder. And I said, oh my gosh, get me out of here. But then I went to the, she said, whenever you're through, just knock on the door, the steel door, and they'll let you out. And I didn't know that, and she didn't know that, but they changed shifts while I was eating. And so I go there and knock on the door and say, I'm ready to come out. And some guard said, I guess you are, but you're not coming out. And I was supposed to preach that night in a few minutes. So I had to go around to the kitchen side and knock on the kitchen door and say, Aunt Margie, they're not letting me out. They think I'm a prisoner. But anyway, that was my wonderful Aunt Margie from Chesterfield County, South Carolina. That jail is now the City Hall. You can ride by there, and it's the City Hall. But I always think of those days when my aunt lived in the jailhouse. Speaking of getting free, I want to do one more song from the Lula's Coffee House concert 9 years ago. This is called Sweet Deliverance.
freedom. Oh, precious freedom. It's good to know you. Good to know you. Good to know you at last.
We started off this episode with playing a couple of songs from my wonderful band that I have now called Damascus Road. I want to end with two songs by Damascus Road from our maiden voyage episodes, a concert we did in June of 2022, our first concert ever. So you can hear that complete concert if you go to episode 81 and 82 on this podcast. But the first song is a song called Send the Rain.
Send the rain let your righteousness rain down. Let your holiness abound. Let the people know your truth. Let salvation bear its fruit. Lord, we're living in a dry and thirsty land. So we ask you once again, send the rain. Send the rain. Send the rain. Send the rain.
I want to close this episode with a story that happened with one of my other uncles on my mother's side. And I'd love to tell this story. He was a preacher. He pastored 3 or 4 churches in his lifetime. And a few years before he died, he started a church in Florence, South Carolina, which is actually about a half a mile from where I live now. And he asked me to come early to his house one of those days that I was there, because he said, I want to take you around and we want to go talk to some people and share Jesus with them and try to win some converts, try to get some people to pray the prayer to accept the Lord. So we drove way out in the country to a dilapidated house. I think the screens were torn and it was in the need of repair. And she had a house full of children. I didn't see the husband there. I think she may have been a single mom. But she had a bunch of kids running around. There's an old Loretta Lynn song that said, one's a ballin', one's a squallin', one's a crawlin', and one's on the way. It was kind of like that. And we sat out in the yard, in yard chairs, and talked to her. And my uncle shared the Lord with her. She knew my uncle, and she had high regard for him. But when he turned to her and asked her what she thought about asking Jesus into her heart, she stopped him. She's very respectful, but she said, oh, Pastor Kendall, I could never do that. She said, I know myself too well. I'm weak. I'm prone to sin. I could never pull it off, and I don't want to start something that I know I'm going to fail. I know I'm going to fall. And as she was sharing that, and I was sitting in the yard chair by my uncle, her little toddler, the youngest kid, who was just learning how to walk, he was in diapers, he was walking toward his mom, and he stumbled. And she was near enough to him that she caught him and kept him from hitting the ground. And she hugged him, and she said, you'll be okay. Don't worry about it. She stood him on his feet, and he walked away. And my uncle had the foresight to see what was going on, and he said, ma'am, what just happened? What just happened a minute ago? She said, well, my little boy came over, and he stumbled, and I caught him, and I hugged him, and he walked away. And he said, do you think that your loving Heavenly Father would do anything other than what you just did to your son, who was weak, who didn't really know how to walk well, who fell? Did you shame him? Did you get mad with him? Did you reject him? She said, no. He said, your Heavenly Father will never reject you if you're trying to learn how to walk. And he said, my advice to you is if you're going to fall, fall toward him, not away from him. And I never forgotten that story, and I've told that many, many times over the years, because there's many people out there, maybe even some of you that are listening right now, that just feel like you're a failure, you're a loser, you just can't do it. And the Bible says he, a smoldering wick, just a little spark, he will never put out. And so that was sort of the thinking behind this song. And I want to close with this. God bless you. If you need to just stop and pray to the Lord, come to him as you are. He will take you. He will accept you. This song is called Not Too Late to Start Over Again. Hope you'll listen to us next week. God bless.
I had a chance, but I did not take it. I had a choice, but I did not make it. I live with regret, and I just can't shake it. But it's not too late to start over again. I had a future I went and shattered. I had hopes somehow got scattered. I sinned and I lost the one thing that mattered. But it's not too late to start over again. The past with things that might have been, and there's only one thing left for me to heal this heart again. Sweet forgiveness, the kind that frees us one by one. I'll pick up the pieces, I'll gather them up, take them to Jesus. For it's not too late to start over again. And I know I can't replace the past with things that might have been. And there's only one thing left for me to heal this heart again. Forgiveness, the kind that frees us one by one. I'll pick up the pieces, oh, I'll gather them up and take them to Jesus. For it's not too late to start over again. Broken pieces, I'll just take them to Jesus. He told me it's not too late to start over again.